couple years, and they come to us from Nigeria. If you were to go to Sweden and stand on the border with Norway and go directly south, you'd end up in Nigeria eventually. And they have big shoes to fill, and we're delighted that they're here with us. And I know that many of you have gotten to know them over the course of this week. But Dan, come and lay on us what the Lord has put on your heart. And Tina.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you for being our Trinity Church family, and for praying for us, for supporting us, and we are the lucky ones that get to be there to see what God is doing through you. So I feel very blessed that we are the ones on the field that get to see and have the job of reporting what God is doing through you. So thank you.
Well, it is such a privilege to be here this morning. We have had a wonderful week getting to know some of you and spending this time in Missions Week. We have just thoroughly enjoyed having the time that we've had here. We are really just back from Nigeria. We have only been in the country a little over a week, and yet there's been so much that's happened. I suppose it's coming up on 2 weeks on Tuesday, but we've just really enjoyed the time that we've had with your church today. This week, I want to give you just a little bit of history of what Getchen is for those of you who don't know, and a little bit about what's going on at Getchen, and then we want to dig into God's Word this morning too, and take a look at that. For those of you who don't know, Getchen was an organization that was founded by Art and Dorothy Helwig in 2003-2004. They went to Nigeria to address the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And they spent time, they were able to get a grant from USAID to do a lot of work that was done there. And over the course of the time that Art and Dorothy were in Nigeria, there was much, much work that was done. They started going to villages. They were doing testing, treating, counseling, treatment for HIV, all of those things they did right in the villages. They were able to get a clinic built on site, and with our compound, we have a very nice clinic, and all of those things were put in place very early. And as time went on, the grant that they had from USAID allowed them to place children in foster care. They were able to place over 16,000 AIDS orphans into foster care in their own villages, which was a tremendous benefit. And even from there, there was just so much work that was done with that grant. But in 2013, that grant came to a close, and it was not renewable at that point. And so as we came to the field in 2014, we had to reorganize, and we had to do things differently. The great source of funding that we had gone away. And as we looked at things that had happened and the areas that were involved, we felt that it was time for us to really just evaluate where we were at. And in 2015, we decided it was time we needed to have a new mission statement. We have about 50 Nigerians on staff right now. We have a management team that consists of myself and Tina and three other Nigerians, and they are the directors of the organization. And we sat down with them in 2015 and said, why are we here? Why does Getchen exist? What is it that we are here to do? And we took many months to come to this conclusion, but we rewrote our mission statement, and we added seven strategies to that mission statement. And this is our mission statement for Getchen. We are to glorify God, providing sustainable community services to Nigeria, specifically the Mambilla Plateau, with the intent and purpose of advancing the kingdom of God through the demonstration of compassion and the love of God in the lives of its staff. There's two things in there that we took right directly from the Bible. We believe that the Old Testament very clearly tells us that we were created to glorify God. We were put on this earth to glorify God. So the first thing that we said is we need to glorify God. The second thing there is to advance the kingdom of God. That's a great commission. Jesus left us that to go out and advance his kingdom and to move forward. And so those are the two things that we believe we are in Nigeria to do. Those are the two reasons why Getchen exists. And I didn't say this, but Getchen is an acronym. It stands for Gambu Center for HIV/AIDS Advocacy Nigeria. That's where that acronym comes from. So that's the things that we identified that we really wanted to accomplish. And we identified the area where we're going to be. We're in Nigeria, and specifically the Mambilla Plateau. If you look at the globe as it comes around, kind of in the armpit is where Nigeria is, and we are in the far eastern side of Nigeria. We're almost to Cameroon. We're on the Mambilla Plateau. We're almost to 5,000-foot elevation. So if you'd like someplace to come where the weather is beautiful year-round, we rarely get below about 55 degrees, and some days we get into the 90s, but it's that way year-round. So, you know, if you want to come someplace and help us, it'd be great. Anyway, sidetracked. But the way that we're going to accomplish this is through the just demonstrating God's love and compassion in the lives of our staff. That's how we're going to accomplish the mission statement. So as we looked at that, we said, okay, now that's what we're here to do. That's what we're going to accomplish. How are we going to do that? And we took a look at all of the things that Getchen had done, all of the things that we were doing, and we broke it down into what we call our 7 strategies for accomplishing that. The first strategy we have is to provide high-quality, holistic healthcare services with excellent patient care. As we moved forward, we found that it was even more important that we provide greater healthcare services than just having an HIV/AIDS clinic. We have our roots in treating and counseling for HIV. We still have a counseling department. We still go out and do testing for HIV, and we treat those. But we found that there was a greater need for even more healthcare services. It's almost a 7-hour drive for somebody that wants to get quality healthcare, and that's a long ways to go. And that's from where we're at, and some people still walk 2 days to come to our hospital when they need services. So for them to go to another 7-hour drive on a bus is just a long distance. So we took a look at that and we said we just really need to provide some really good quality healthcare services. So we immediately opened up as a full-service clinic, and in February of 2016, we did some remodeling, and we were able to get 21 beds into our facility, and now we have a full hospital with 21 beds. We need more than that. There's many times that we're turning people away because we don't have enough bed space, but we are moving in that direction. We're in the process right now of building another building that will give us another 40 beds, and it also will have two operating rooms in it. One that we'll use as a labor delivery room when we move into the building, and in the future it will become a operating room as we build additional buildings. But the services we're able to offer with this new building is going to be very, very good. Being able to reach out to our community, probably nearly half of the people that come to the clinic and the hospital are Muslim people. And they are so appreciative. And the interesting thing is with that is they want to know why we're doing that. As Muslims, they would not reach out to Christians and provide the kind of services that we do. But as Christians reaching out to Muslims, they want to know why we're doing that. It's so hard for them to comprehend why we're coming there as Christians and reaching out to the community. So everybody that comes to the hospital pays a small fee. And we found that to be very important, too, because they start having some ownership in what we have. And so we don't turn anybody away, but we subsidize anybody that needs it. But we certainly ask everybody to pay some kind of fee. So that's the first strategy, and I got to move on or we're going to be here. You have to understand, I come from Nigeria. We are used to 4-hour services, so if you don't mind, we're just going to go right straight through the second service. And no, we won't do that. Second strategy, quickly to leverage opportunities from donor agencies that seek to improve the lives of people living with HIV, provide care and support for orphans and vulnerable children, and create access to HIV testing and counseling. We still are looking for grants to help us expand that side of the work. There are grants available out there. We just want to continue to look at those things and see if there's other ways we can expand those services. The third one is love, serve, shepherd the children and youth so they are encouraged to choose an intimate relationship with Christ Jesus, to grow in a relationship with him, and to be equipped to live a life committed to serving him. As we went to churches, we found that on Sunday mornings, there was not a lot of programming for children. Most of the time, the children just sat in the service, and if they got out of line, the ushers whacked them with a stick, and everything was good. In fact, there were some ushers that, when I told that in men's Bible study, they were kind of interested in that stick approach, so you might start seeing that come up. But anyway, that was really a concern that we had, because here we have these children that are in this age group that we want to reach them, and they wait until they're much older to try and reach them. So we were able to contact Awana, and we were able to get an Awana missionary to come to our area in Nigeria. We trained Awana leaders. We did a week-long of training. It's very economical for the church. Awana has written their program for international missions, and for about $15, they can come, they can get a week of training, and they get all the supplies they need to run an Awana program for an entire year. So it's really, it's really a great program. So currently we have 40 Awana clubs that are going in our area, and there's over 1,000 children that are attending these clubs. So it's really a neat way for us to be able to help churches reach the children around them. And because they play the game time first, they're drawing a lot of Muslim children into the game time too. And then they stay to learn Bible verses, and they stay to be able to get the Bible story for that night, and really starting to plant God's word in their hearts. The fourth one is to provide every girl and woman with ready, feasible access to quality, sustainable hygiene and health education through lasting feminine hygiene solutions. Tina has been working with an organization called Days for Girls, and they're doing a washable, reusable feminine hygiene product, and it's good for about 2 years if they take care of it well. And that has allowed her to get into many schools, Christian schools, Muslim schools, women's Quranic schools. She's been in so many areas to be able to talk about women's health, and again, just reaching out to the community to show them Jesus' love. Number six, strive to eliminate starvation in children by helping to instill compassion in people to hear and respond to the cries of those in need. In the past, Gretchen has done a lot of work to go out into communities and feed starving children, to identify children that are malnourished and to provide food for them. We continue to do a little bit of that. And we haven't done as much this year because our funding in that area has been down, and we need to work on that. But if you look carefully at this statement, it doesn't say that Gretchen's going to feed all the starving children. It says, strive to eliminate starvation in children by helping to instill compassion in people to hear and respond to the cries of those in need. We felt it was important that we write it this way, so we're also working with the local churches there. We want them to understand what their responsibility in this is. It's not just Americans should come in and feed their children. It's that they have a responsibility in caring for their children too. So we're very careful how we worded this, and we're trying to work with the churches to help them be involved in this too. And the final... I'm missing one here. Provide a format for transforming Christian leaders with an injection of vision, skill development, inspiration for the sake of the local church. In Nigeria, leadership is done by, it's a shame-based society. Leadership is, I'm the ones in charge, you do what I tell you to, don't ask questions, whatever I say is right, I'm the one that's in charge here. And that's really demeaning for people, and people don't want to follow that kind of leadership style. And we have a tremendous problem with leadership in churches. And Pastor Dave actually just gave us an article from Christianity Today, and many of the things that they identify in that, the article said that Islam is not the biggest threat to Christianity and the Christian church in Nigeria, it's the Christian church. And it's really true, because the leadership is that way. So we really try to work very closely with the leaders of the churches and help them understand Jesus-style leadership, help them understand what servant leadership means. And it's been a challenge, and we've worked hard to be able to do that, and we're getting there, but it's a long ways to go, because they're so ingrained in this worldview that they have, it's hard to change that. So we keep working towards that. And then the last one, which for some reason I don't have on here, is to provide business training skills to help needy families and individuals develop small enterprises and become productive and self-sufficient. There are so many people that just, I don't know how to explain it other than in Nigeria, typically in America, as we've taught our children, we've taught them how to think for themselves. We want them to go on to live lives where they can think for themselves and they can grow up and be able to be innovative and do things. In Nigeria, they're taught not to think for themselves and not to have any thought process. And that's why the church, and of course, with the leadership being the way it is and having just somebody in charge that tells everybody what to do, they don't have to think about anything. They don't have to do anything. So we're working to just provide some skills so that these people can have their own business and do things. We started a program the first of this year. We took in 15 children between the ages of 17 and 25, and we're teaching them some type of skill. We've paired them with a craftsman, so they're either learning right now barbering, tailoring, catering, and welding. And we have people that are in those areas, and they go and they spend time with the craftsmen learning that. But we're also bringing them into a classroom setting, and we're teaching them how to have their own business, how to do budgeting, how to find a good place, how to get customers, all of the things they need to know to have their own business. So at the end of the year, they'll be able to have their own business and be successful at it. And the donor that we've been working with is even going to, at the end of the year, if they've done a good job, is going to purchase them some supplies so that they can have their own business. So maybe if they're a seamstress, maybe they'll get a sewing machine at the end of the year. So they'll be able to, again, be able to jumpstart their business and move into that. So that's the 10,000 flyover view of what's going on at Getchen and what we're doing. There's many, many, many other things that fall into that. We have two radio programs that we do every week. We have a guest house on site. We have a restaurant on site. We have many things that fall under those things that we're doing. So if you want to learn more about what's happening at Getchen, we'd encourage you to just catch us. We're going to be around for a few days yet. We got time for lunch or coffee or something. Just catch us and ask us more questions about it. We'd love to share. God is doing some tremendous things in Nigeria, and we're just excited to be able to be there and be a part of what's going on there and be able to come back and just share just a small window of what that is. You know, we've been there for a nine-month stretch now, and I just gave you in 11 minutes what we've been doing in 9 months, so it's very condensed. But so please, come and ask us questions about that. So this morning, whenever I prepare a message and I'm looking for something, I find something that I need, that I desperately need. And so today, our topic is Prayer 101. And, you know, that is a big thing in our lives. Prayer is, for us as missionaries, you all praying for us is just so important. We see daily what your prayers are doing in Nigeria, so we covet those prayers. But we're going to take a look this morning at the model prayer. It's sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. Maybe it could be called the Disciples' Prayer because it's the prayer that Jesus gave the disciples. We're going to Matthew 6, 5 through 13, by the way. You can pull your Bibles out and get there while I'm talking. I should have given you that earlier. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13 is where we're going to read. And this morning, I'm going to be kind of jumping a little bit back and forth between the New King James Version and the New Living Translation, just because I like some of the wording in those. I think it's very clear. And I will the scripture that will be on the screen and where I'll be reading is actually out of the New King James Version, so it's probably not a lot different than where you are. So, starting in verse 5, we read, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Father, as we take this time this morning, we just want to ask you to be with us. And as we look at this model of prayer, Father, help us to glean something that we can apply to our lives. Father, help our prayer lives to be strengthened this morning. Help us to be better tomorrow than we are today. Father, help us to just strive to move forward. And as we think of prayer and the need to communicate with you, Father, we just pray that you would just, again, strengthen our prayer lives. And Father, as we look at this passage, Father, give me the words to say that communicate the message you would have this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I need to say before I start this is the first time I've ever preached from digital here. So if at some point you see me look down and panic, it's because I've now deleted all my notes completely, and we're winging it from there on out. So so just pray that this works out okay. So there was a deacon that had a parrot, and the deacon's parrot constantly said, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." That's the only thing the parrot would say. And the deacon was quite concerned about this because that just doesn't seem to be right. And the pastor, too, had a parrot, and the pastor had trained his parrot to say, "Let's pray, let's pray." And, of course, the deacon was very impressed with that this parrot could do that. So the deacon went to the pastor, and he said, "You know, if I could bring my parrot to you, maybe your parrot would teach my parrot to say, 'Let's pray, let's pray.'" And the pastor agreed to that. And the pastor brought the deacon's parrot home and put it with his parrot. And the pastor's parrot immediately said, "Praise the Lord, my prayers have been answered." Sometimes that's the way we look at prayer. We have this laundry list that we come to to God. Every freshman that starts into university knows that he has to take the 101 classes. So today we're going to be looking at prayer 101. It's the prerequisite to higher levels of education. And Jesus knew that his followers would need to have a reference, a place to start with prayer. And so he did what is called the Lord's Prayer here. And we even see in Luke 11, verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus. And out of all the things that they saw Jesus do, they saw him do miracles, they saw him draw large crowds in, they saw him speak to all of these people. Out of all of the things that he did, they saw his prayer life, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." All of the things that they were in close proximity of, they were most impressed with his prayer life. So they were basically asking, "Father, give us a lesson on prayer." Perhaps you find yourself wondering exactly what you should be praying for and how we should be looking at prayer. I think that Jesus gives us a very good model, and we're going to find 6 R's in our lesson this morning as we look at this. Some of them might be a stretch, but I'm trying to be a good preacher and have the R's all in there, so we're gonna try and make it work here. But let's just take a seat in the class of 101 class on prayer that Jesus is going to give. And look at these 6 items. And I'm not saying that every time that you sit down to pray, you're going to have all of these 6 items in your prayer. And I don't expect, you know, I'm kind of I'm a class A personality, and I do things on checklists, and I have the formula for everything, and that's the way I am. And Jesus doesn't offer a formula for prayer. He just gives us some guidelines for prayer. So in verse 5, Jesus begins with a couple of cautions. Verse 5 says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pray publicly on street corners in the synagogues where they can be seen. I tell you the truth, that is the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." This is Jesus' first caution to us. Before he even starts a lesson, this is his first caution to us. Caution number 1, our communication with God is personal and private, not something that is to be displayed for others to praise us about. We don't pray so that others can praise us. We don't have flowery prayers like the Pharisees did so that people could look at us and say, "Ooh, isn't he a cool prayer?" That's not why we pray. The second caution comes in verse 7 and 8, and I like the way that the New Living Translation says this. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words over and over again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So caution number 2, we're not to babble on, just repeating words over and over again. Our prayers must be sincere. I like that babble on terminology that the New Living Translation uses. Sometimes that's what I think we do. We just are kind of this blah, 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 blah. And we don't even think about it. We have this prayer life that, okay, it's mealtime, we need to pray, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now it's and we do this kind of thing where we get into a mode of, okay, it's required for us to pray before a meal, so we have to say some kind of prayer. And we just kind of are babbling about it. So now he comes into verse 9 and he starts his prayer. And the first thing that he says in the prayer is reverence. Verse 9, he says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." We had communion this morning, and the two songs that we sang during communion, "How Great Thou Art" and "How Great Is Our God," right? And it's just, if you think about how great God is, that's how Jesus starts his prayer. You know, many times we start our prayers and we start out by saying, okay, God, this is what I need, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And Jesus says, first start with this point of God, you are so great. Hallowed be your name. Conveying the holiness of God. Our starting point with our prayer is just how big is God, how big is his majesty, how big is his holiness. It's not the size of our problems. To put it in very simple terms, it's wow is God, not woe is me. If you think about that, wow is God. How big is God? It's just, you can't comprehend it. And as we sang these songs this morning, it just came to me again. We just can't even comprehend how big God is. Wow is God. Verse number 10, may your kingdom come soon. I'm titling this Reflective Anticipation. We are asking God to establish his kingdom on earth at some time in the future. The sooner the better, of course. And we're asking God to reign in our lives both today and forever. We are offering ourselves as servants to the king. Moreover, we are crying out to the world, which will never be right until the kingdom of God comes in its fullness. We're asking God to make his justice and righteousness, his love and grace known to our world today, even as we await the complete experience of his kingdom that lies ahead. We want God to be the king of our life today as well as forever. And as we reflect on that future is going to be like, we wait with anticipation for that. Verse 10, the second half of verse 10 is our release. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a hard one. This is really hard. I mean, this is where we come to God and say, God, you know, this is something that I think would be really cool. I'd like to have this, but I'm turning it over to you. And I'm not going to twist your arm to give me what I want, but here's the things that I need. God, I'm just turning it over to you. We've been through some tough things in our marriage and our lives, and we had to come to the point where we had to do that. We just said, here, God, we've done everything. And once you come to that point and you can start releasing those things to God, It there's a lot of relief that comes off from you when you know it doesn't depend on you, that you're giving it back to God. Real faith is when we release everything to God. We don't pray to push our agenda on God, but we surrender to his. Now, verse number 11, request. Give us today the food we need. After we worship God and let go of our desires, then we're a place to put our needs before God. This is really a humbling concept. Almighty God has invited us to come to him with our requests. Numerous times in the gospel, Jesus invites us to ask. He teaches us in this model prayer to ask God to provide for our daily needs. See what this says in here? This says, provide what we need today, God. Sometimes we look out into the future and we say, maybe way out here, I want to have this, God. So, you know, make sure that we get that direction. But this is what we need today. This is what we need today. This is not what we want today. This is not what we want tomorrow. This is what we need today. Give us today the food we need. This is the needs we have on a daily basis. Just as provisions for the life of a young child are delivered through a parent, our faith journey is at its best when we learn to depend on God each and every day. Verse 12, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The next step in Jesus' lesson is a prayer on forgiveness. We are instructed to ask God to forgive our debts. Isn't this a word picture we can all understand? Debt becomes a weight on our lives that holds us back. It enslaves us to our debtors. We need to have our debts forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many are in bondage today because they refuse to forgive another person. Forgiven people forgive others as well. And there's many stories we could have on that from the Bible. Verse 13, we're going to see realignment. And again, I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is a realignment. And if you have a car and you know that if you hit a big pothole and your car gets out of alignment, it's hard to keep it going straight down the road. It wants to wander off to one side or the other. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to draw us off to one side or the other. He wants to draw us away from our purpose. We live daily with an enemy that wants to draw us away, hourly. And Jesus reminds us to call on God's power to lead us in the right direction and to keep us away from evil. It is imperative that Christians acknowledge the battle of temptation and take precautions through prayer. And then the end of verse 13, Jesus gives a conclusion. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Again, his prayer ends the same way it started. He ends his prayer by glorifying God, praising God. He ends his prayer the same way he started. Now again, we've got six things that we talked about this morning, and we'll just go through these real quick, and I'm going to give you the word, and then I'm going to give you something to put behind that. The first one is reverence, and I want you to think about, wow, God. Just when you think in your prayers, think about just, wow, God, you're incredible. I just can't believe you're so big and you have a concern for me. The second one, reflective anticipation. God rule now. God's agenda. I think I missed reflective anticipation on that. God's rule now and forever. And then release, it's God's agenda. I got them backwards on that. Release, it's God's agenda. It's not my agenda. It's not the way that I want to do things. It's how God wants to do things. And I just release it to God. Request, and our request is a dependence on God. It's not about me. It's about releasing to God and just depending upon God. Repentance is forgiveness, and we have realignment, preparing for temptation. As we look at these things this morning, just keep these in mind as you pray. You're not going to sit down. And I don't want any one of you to go out of here now with this list and sit down tomorrow morning and say, okay, now he said we've got to have reverence first, okay? Wow, God, that's okay. Now what is the next thing? That's not why we're doing this. These are the elements of your prayer life. All of these things should be elements that you have in your prayer life. But But it's not a formula for your prayer life. So as you pray, keep these things in mind. And just as you communicate with God, just think about how great God is and what he's done for you. And he's going to care for you each and every single day. So that's what I have for you this morning. I think I was a few minutes longer than what I should have been. But I want to, if you go back to the gymnasium back there, there's a couple things that I want to point out. There's a card back there, and it's on cardstock, so you can stick this in your Bible and keep this. This says how to pray. I don't care if you're praying for us as a missionary, if you're praying for your pastor, if you're praying for any other missionaries. This gives you some really good just things to think about when you're praying. And it goes through the whole alphabet. It gives you something for the whole alphabet. My mom keeps this in her Bible, and she thinks it's she just takes one thing every day and uses that to pray for missionaries and for pastors. There's a brochure back there that says Introducing Dan and Tina. This has got a little bit about Gretchen in here and a little bit about us in here. There's a giving card back there. As you pray for us, pray for the hospital. We're building this new building. We have to outfit the building. If you're able to help us out with some equipment for that building, that giving card is back there. The money that you use that giving card for goes directly to the hospital. That doesn't come to us. We are just a little bit short on our monthly support, so if you're interested in supporting us on a monthly basis, we would certainly accept that, but we need funding for the hospital too. So let's just have a closing prayer here, and then I think you have an interview to do here too. So Father, just thank you so much this morning. Father, you are a great God. We just come before you and worship you today. And Father, we know that as we have looked at this passage, we all can be better in our prayer lives. We all can draw from this, and you can strengthen us in our prayer lives. Father, we just thank you for the time we've had together. And as we go our way this morning, as we go to different parts of the area, Father, we just pray that you would be with us this week. Help us to remember how we are to pray, and help us to be more effective in our prayer lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.